Okay, I think it's okay now. I think before we begin, I better point out that this interview is taking place in New Orleans on September the 1st in a hotel room in the evening. It started around 8 o'clock and it's we probably won't finish before 10. Okay, why don't you continue for what you were saying?
So, Bob Cairns was not involved in information transfer or we went out to Goodrich, Avonlea to Ohio, and we being myself and a chemical engineer and
who was the chemical engineer?
I can't think of his name right now. And also some of the people that worked on the applications areas, Dean Watts, Bob Amberg. And then some occasions, Goodrich came to Hercules and saw the pilot plant work and so on. And we helped Goodrich get into the business and told him everything we knew. And they finally got into the business, and then we kept working on the area, trying to improve the product. Well, Goodrich had pointed out a variety of deficiencies, and
naturally,
a lot of work was done on improving the stability, improving the process, and a whole variety of things. And we continued looking for applications. We did a lot of work looking in the elastic thread area. We had a cooperative arrangement with a company up in New England, and I think it was a nylon elastic thread company. And we did a lot of work with them. Looked like a pretty interesting elastic thread, and this was potentially a big market. And because I think of this work, Hercules got interested in producing this rubber, and ultimately the operating department took it over and developed their own process for information.
And be in competition with the people we licensed it to.
Right. And they ultimately went into commercial production. And actually,
Where did they make the rubber? Hercules? Where did Hercules make the rubber?
Hattiesburg.
Oh, Hattiesburg.
But
any reason for Hattiesburg? We just something else for Hattiesburg to go? Because they didn't, they had no raw materials there to speak of.
No, it's a plant that was available with all the accessories, steam and land and the water.
And Carlin and Gibson is probably overloaded with other things then, too.
Well, this was in the operating department that had anything.
Still naval stores.
Yeah, that was the department. Took over, we decided to commercialize this rubber. And of course, it was the problem that dealt with the rubber industry, the suppliers and stuff.
But Gibbstown was your big plan for the for most of that stuff, which was not naval stores.
Well, they didn't, at that point, didn't have a closed paper chemical department, really.
Oh, for Gibbstown at that time?
Gibbstown wasn't paper chemicals.
No, it was naval stores. It was for the peroxides and phenol.
But it was the paper chemicals department that handled the emulsifiers.
Yeah.
And peroxides, the rubber industry.
Oh, so actually it was the salespeople that determined it goes to Hattiesburg.
Yeah.
Sales and marketing people.
Yeah, it was the department that...
Well, that's interesting. Now, what affects what plant somebody goes to.
Well, I think at that point, you know...
So as the customers really determined.
The raw acid operations were in the paper chemicals department.
Yeah, because Hasbury was not known for having a lot of real good chemists and chemical engineers.
Yeah, well, I think it was a mistake, but that's either here or there. But anyway, as an interesting sideline, I don't know if you know this or not, Herman, but recently Hercules sold that business to Goodrich.
Yeah, I know.
Okay. So now Goodrich has the entire business, but actually, Hercules did a very good job developing the market for that arsenic, and they actually wound up, I think, with a better process and better product and a large part of the market.
For sure, they knew more about their customers than we did.
Yeah, I think they did a very good marketing job, and I found out later that Goodrich hadn't really put a lot of effort into them. Field. And of course, now they have a different philosophy, and it could work out. So the product will get a good shape.
Now we're in the '60s. We're on the '60s now with your epoxy rubbers.
Yeah, right.
Or we're in the '70s. Could be part of the '70s too now.
Yeah, I continue to work in this area and do a lot of stuff. Related studies, derivatives, and
you play around with different kinds of monomers.
Well, I continue to scout for other areas of possible unique polymers.
Like what? How did you broaden your interests?
Well, one of the last sizable programs I initiated was to make some rigid J water-soluble polymers, and this was in the, probably started about 79. And,
this is different from Jerry Kine's kind of polymers.
Oh yeah, yeah, these were, in fact, they just gave two papers on that at this meeting. Hercules released the information a year or so ago, and excited enough to pursue the area and or patent it. And,
What area is this? What are we talking about now?
Well, these are water-soluble polymers that were designed to be very...
But based on what monomers?
Well, based on... one is this, like sulfonated Kevlar, polycrystalline terephthalate, and we made it by condensation-type polymerization. Terephthalate and fluoride were... 1,4 benzene, with a sulfonic acid group on the ring.
You couldn't sulfonate the Kevlar itself?
Well, that was in literature, but they hadn't tried to make water soluble polymers like our goal was.
That you wanted more, sulfonates. Than the you can do by sulfonation of Kevlar.
Well, we tried, but
the solubility is against you in Kevlar.
It was difficult to control, and it's possible that one might do it in a little way, but once you knew what the result was,
it's better to get it by copolymerization or polymerization.
Copolymerization. Okay,
so this is basically less than you did in Hercules.
Not really, but it was the last probably sizable program, because we had two or three It did work out for a while, and we had a corporate rep with the University of Lowell who had paid contract to work out part of it from the West Law. So it was a fairly sizable program, and we did come up with some interesting products, but
not for Hercules.
But Hercules didn't feel they were good enough. Of
course, as a scientist, not always you have to end up with a commercial product, end up with new chemistry. That makes it worthwhile, too, doesn't it?
I think it was a very interesting piece of work. Conceptually, it was. And potentially still of interest for further study. And it's possible that Dr. Solomon and I might decide to pursue it. I'm not sure.
Would you spell his last name just to be sure?
Salamone. One of the other things I did in the last 10 years was work on...
He's in textiles chemistry, though, isn't he?
He's done a lot of work on it. His area is mostly water soluble polymers.
For what, though? For textiles? Textile treatment?
No. He's at the University of Lowell. He is really invented the Boston contact lens.
Oh.
Now that was not worked on at Lowell. Well, it may have been, but.
Maybe he's responsible for it.
But he set up a separate company and developed that lens.
That's a soft lens you're talking about.
No, it's
a hard lens.
Hard lens. And it's been a very successful.
Except it's being replaced with the soft lens now.
Well, I don't know. They're both being marketed. What the ultimate outcome will be, I'm not sure. But that company was finally sold to Bausch & Lomb.
That was quite a few years ago then, yeah.
No, 2 or 3 years ago.
Oh, okay.
In the last 10 years of Hercules, I did a fair amount of work on water-soluble polymers. Some type or another.
Can you classify the types you work
with? Well, part of it was on the hydroxypolyethers. We did some fundamental work on glycerol polymerization. Discovered new rearrangement polymerization of glycerol, which actually was. Actually, I wrote that up after I retired.
Yeah, I remember that.
I came back for one summer after I retired and wrote that work up, all the work all done Hercules. And then I used that work as a basis for, with Hercules' permission, to write a proposal to get money from NASA and the Army.
And you did?
Which we did get money.
And that's where the...
And that's what I'm doing now at ASU.
Arizona State University, the reason you moved to Arizona? Or I know you had talked about the beautiful area out there when you were much younger.
We've been going out to Arizona for that many years.
Before retirement.
Before retirement, we owned Vermont property out there, actually, and probably went out every year, 2 or 3 weeks.
You owned land, or you owned the house on the land, and the land?
Well, we owned a lot of things.
Oh.
We actually owned the trailer court, which was adjacent to Arizona State University.
Oh.
Which we operated in.
You were in the real estate business.
I had a fair amount of real estate, which my daughter managed partly while she had moved out here. My son had been here.
In Arizona.
He is now in Nevada.
Maybe we better get back to your marriage now.
Oh, okay.
Maybe know about your family.
Well, married in 50.
Who did you marry?
Mildred Elizabeth Wright.
W-R-I-G-H-T.
Right, correct.
And that was in 1950, huh?
1950, yeah.
And was she a Delaware person, Delawarean?
Well, she was born in New Jersey as I was, in a different area of New Jersey, all right.
How'd you meet her?
I think her family had moved to Delaware.
Oh,
I suppose, late 30s, 40s area. And she worked for DuPont, and I had met her through...
She worked for DuPont as what?
As secretary.
No, she didn't go to college, though.
No, she went to business school to learn typing, I guess.
To be a good secretary.
Yeah, right. And I guess I was living out in Belfast at the time, I guess, with one DuPonter and a couple of Hercules fellas.
And a house. So.
In a house, right.
Yeah.
And the DuPonter introduced me to her through a...
it's the first time you met her, too. First time you met her then in Delaware, not in New Jersey.
Yeah, right. Oh, yeah. Well, it's in, I don't know if I met her in 49, probably.
Oh. It was fortuitous, and that you roomed at the DuPonter.
Yeah, I guess that's right.
Okay, then you married in 50 and started having children. How many children you have?
Well, I got two.
And what sexes? One boy, one girl.
One boy, one girl.
Boy first or girl
first? Boy first, yeah.
And what was his predilections in life? Was he a good student? Was he the kind of student you wanted out of a son or and also your daughter?
Well, my son was a fair student. He wasn't, he didn't really apply himself to it. He got near the end of his college career and realized the importance of it.
And he majored in what in college?
Well, it was a liberal arts course.
Where, Delaware?
No, Lynchburg College in Virginia.
Oh, yeah. What's the difference between their ages, your son and daughter?
Well, it's around a year.
Oh.
Two years.
Where'd your daughter go to college?
Same college.
Yeah. What'd she major in?
Well, she had a business orientation. Yeah.
And she's in, is she not married and but still working, or?
Yeah, she's not married, working.
Oh, she's not married.
Manages a bookstore in Hackney, Sun City.
Oh. And you see her practically every week then?
Yeah, we see her.
And your son's in Arizona too?
My son's in Nevada.
Well, that's pretty close at that, though.
Well, seven in 50 miles.
That's right, Nevada's a big state. That was Arizona. So it's talking north-south now, it's right.
Yeah, right. And, but we do see him three or four times a year. He has two children. Both divorced, unfortunately.
What do you mean by divorced? Your daughter's divorced?
Daughter's divorced, too.
Oh, that's normal today.
Yeah, I know, unfortunately. So that's my family. Anything else?
Well, now I'd like to get into the honors you received in your life. And what was your first award? Was it one in Delaware? The Best Paper Award, I think, was your first award.
Well, I guess my first honor was becoming elected to Tau Beta Pi.
When was this? When you're in college?
In college, yeah.
Oh, that's the honorary fraternity.
The honorary engineering term, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But the first chemistry award was the Delaware section.
Best Paper Award.
Best Paper Award, right.
And that was what year, remember? If they're from Delaware, I can go upstairs and find out real fast.
Well, if I after my stuff with me, I can tell you quickly, too. But that is about
okay, that would be
65 or something like that.
Okay, that would be, in what you send me as attachments for your, with your bibliography and so forth. Be sure you put your awards down in years.
Oh, well, I have a, bibliography.
See, then your next award was Palmer Division, I think.
No, I got another when they changed the nature of the Delaware Section Award, I got that one.
And you have to talk on your...
And then the next one, I guess, was the...
Palmer Division.
Palmer Division Award, right.
And as you have an honorary doctorate, too, from...
an honorary doctorate from Stevens. And,
so you'll have that in the list, too.
Yeah,
a specific date.
That's right. That's there. And, of course, we also got the...
for your chairman of the section, too, in 1976.
Yeah.
So you had another office in the section, too, was it secretary or treasurer? I can't remember.
You were
counselor.
I avoided that one.
You were counselor for at least 6 years, I remember.
Yeah,
I think
it was 6 years. Well, that'll all be in my...
And then you were chairman also of the Palmer Division.
Chairman of Palmer Division, a variety of posts in Palmer Division.
And how about Gordon Research?
I was chairman of Gordon Palmer Conference.
And who would you say throughout your scientific life had the most influence on you? Or was it just a series of a lot of good people that came along at the right time?
Well, I guess a whole host of people certainly helped me. I mean,
you just put Sperling near the top of this?
Certainly, Harold helped me a lot, no question about it. Dr. Pond, of course, originally.
How about your colleagues, like a Boardman or Breslow or Kime or Bob Cairns? Did they have any effect on your outlook on science or help you in any way? In discussions and so forth, or in argumentations?
Well, you know, these things certainly have some influence, and no question about it.
But you were in the hell of a good environment, and that helped.
Sure.
That's basically the conclusion here, then.
Sure.
There were a lot of people at Hercules affected you, and also your friends at DuPont, and also from Palmer Division.
The professional contact with the fellow reception in the National Society.
Hey, you were really not too active in the National Society except the division. As a counselor, what were you as a counselor?
Well, I was on the PAT committee. And actually...
Well, you don't have to be a counselor to be on that committee. But it's better to be a counselor.
It was through my offices of the Creative Dimension Award.
That's an important factor.
I promoted that. That's an award. I don't think anybody recognized it, but I did.
That's a good award.
Yeah, I think it was a very important award.
Because most awards go to the academic people, and that brings it back to the industry.
It has been an area sadly neglected. But it wasn't too hard to get it through, actually.
Your appointment at Arizona State came after you retired, not before you retired, huh? Or was it simultaneous?
You had asked me before why I went there.
You pointed out your real estate, but you...
Well, really, I didn't pick ASU. I picked the area, and I wanted to continue working if I could in my profession. So I went to the chairman of the department before I retired,
during the vacation period.
Yeah, just saw whether there was any interest in it. I was encouraged, and I wasn't appointed an adjunct professor until after I had retired. after I had, I guess it was, so the retiree came out here 3 months, and at that time, I worked out the final details, and, I was appointed adjunct in July of that year, 83. But, it was pretty contingent on my getting support.
All right, so you had to get your own support, and that's how they worked.
Yes, I wasn't, have received no monetary support.
As an adjunct.
As
an adjunct, you don't receive monetary support, so generally, yeah.
Well, that's what I found out recently, because I'm now called a visiting professor.
A permanent visiting professor.
Because I'm getting paid.
But through the NSF.
But it's not the ASU money, it's the government money. But
yeah.
They don't look at it that way, but anyway.
Yeah, because the government, the universities get a cut out of the whatever grant you receive.
Well, they get all the money, and they just pump it out. You know?
Yeah, that's the way it's handled.
I'm paid as a regular employee of the state. If I hadn't gotten research funds, I wouldn't be there.
You'd be consulting. You would not be at the university, but you'd still be in Arizona.
Yeah, I'd still be in Arizona.
You still consulting? Or?
I'm doing my other work. I do consulting. I have a patent litigation that I'm presently consulting on, which may turn out to spend consulting all the time.
And quite a few of the retired chemists in Dover in these patent litigation suits.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't want to consult, but that seems to be the most fertile field for these retired chemists these
days.
Well,
no question about it. You get involved in patent litigation, usually quite the lengthy consulting.
Oh, yeah, the lawyers like to extend those things.
Right.
That's where their money comes from, by extending them.
Worthwhile activity.
Well, spend 5% of your time in as a consultant or less?
Probably
a day or two
less.
A month at the most?
Yeah, probably less.
Mm-hmm. That's the way it is with my friends in Delaware too.
Yeah. I haven't really worked very hard on getting consulting activity.
You're busy enough without that, huh?
Oh, yeah, I got plenty to do.
What do you do besides the university? What do you do?
I mostly look after my business interests.
Your real estate?
Real estate, stocks and bonds, things like that. Investing. That's probably the major part of my activity.
I can't think of anything else to ask you. We'd like to know is
we've traveled, of course, a lot around the world, most related to my professional activities.
You don't travel just for pleasure, then, generally?
Not too much, because there's so much professional related travel that there really isn't a lot of other time for travel, along with what I'm doing. We've been to Russia and invited. The government paid.
Government to lecture?
To lecture and visit the
government. You lectured in course in English?
And we were to China on the same basis. That was after I retired. That was after I retired that I went to China. I was a guest of the Chinese government. Also, I hope I could pick up some postdocs for people. Wasn't successful.
You have to get to Japan for that.
Well, that I've done too.
Or Taiwan.
There's a question of monetary considerations that I didn't get anywhere. I actually did have a Japanese citizen working with me.
That's a graduate student or a postdoc?
Oh, a postdoc. Oh. I'm a company. Mm-hmm. that I've been dealing with, I want to pay them.
What do you want to?
Huh? Well, I mean, the company sending them to me.
Oh.
And I thought the company should pay.
Oh.
And which I gather is the usual way of doing it.
Mm-hmm.
They elected not to do that. So.
Did Howie Tennant ever have an influence on your work at Hercules?
Yeah, I suppose he did. Sure. Mm-hmm. To a certain degree. But, you know, I was really given pretty much a free hand.
You tend to be more independent. You were probably more independent than most, I think.
I think I was, you know, pretty independent. That's the kind of the way I operated. I mean,
okay, well, is there something else you can think of that you can add that'd be of interest to the Palmer history in terms of people you knew in Palmer chemistry and their effect on you or the effect on the area of Palmer chemistry?
Well, just one kind of interesting little sideline is that the, when it became obvious I was going to get a government grant for this work at ASU, the first person I contacted to get a postdoc was Carl Marvel.
Oh.
And called him up on the phone and recommended to somebody he had interviewed a year or so before. And I contacted him. Well, I won't give you all the details, but he wasn't immediately available, but after a while became available, and after going through maybe two ads and CD news and 30 candidates, we finally hired this fellow that Carl Malden had recommended. And he has been very excellent.
He was from Arizona. He was from the University of Arizona, though.
American. No. He had just entered. Well, I just interviewed him for a job.
Oh.
And he worked out to be very good. An excellent American.
Well, isn't Marvel at University of Arizona?
Yeah. Yeah, but this, my postdoc didn't go there.
Oh, I see.
He was just applying for a job at the postdoc.
Yeah.
Wow, that's an odd
interview. Okay, we'll close the interview then.
Yeah, okay.